This podcast was recorded Thursday, November 21st at 10:32 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Like former Congressman Matt Gaetz will withdraw his nomination for Attorney General, saying he does not want to be a distraction to the incoming Trump administration. That's how this is going to end, right? But you never know. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who say term limits, what term limits? Let's just change chambers. I'm Mike Thompson. You know, for the past few years, Ohio Senate President Matt Huffman has skillfully led the Ohio Senate. His conservative priorities were the Senate's conservative priorities. Those stances did not always align with the Ohio House or with Governor DeWine, but that did not stop him and the Senate Republicans from making their mark on state lawmaking. But Huffman's time in the Senate is coming to an end because of term limits. So he set his sights on the House. He ran and won a House seat. No big surprise there. It happens often at the Statehouse, as we said. But he did not just want to be a once-again freshman House member. He wanted the top job. And for the past couple of years, he has been setting the stage, laying the groundwork for what happened this week. The House Republican caucus voted unanimously to nominate Huffman to be the next House Speaker. His main rival, current House Speaker Jason Stevens, withdrew earlier in the week. So if all of those votes hold in January, when the official tally on the House floor occurs, the Speaker's gavel will be his. Joining us to discuss this palace intrigue, this statehouse intrigue, is Sarah Donaldson. She's a statehouse reporter for Ohio Public Radio. Sarah, welcome to Snollygoster.
Hey, good to be here. I think it's my first time.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to the gang. Sarah, this all began really 2 years ago when current House Speaker Jason Stevens stole is such a strong word. Let's just say he swiped the job from State Rep. Derek Merrin. Merrin won the nomination in that private caucus, but not all Republicans were happy with him, and Stevens enlisted the help of Democrats and won the gavel. Heading into this week, what was the thinking at the State House? Could that happen again? Was there any kind of maneuvering going to happen? Was that the thought?
Absolutely. Heading into Monday, I think the question was, you know, obviously Senate President Huffman, now Speaker-elect Huffman, Representative-elect Huffman, he wears many hats right now. I think the thinking was he was obviously running. He'd made it very clear. But, you know, going into Monday, the thinking was that incumbent Speaker Jason Stevens would run again. Would he court Democratic support again to win that role, because he hasn't really united the House Republican caucus. It's still a very fractured caucus going into Monday. And then you've got another candidate going into Monday, Representative Tim Barhorst. He will be a second term lawmaker come January, more conservative ideologically than Jason Stevens, although a lot of these Republicans obviously agree on a lot of policy issues. And Barhorst was backed by Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom, which is an anti-vaccine mandate group. They started posting about him, you know, kind of talking about why he was a candidate who was more aligning with their goals, because Huffman has not been for these anti-vaccine mandate efforts. There was a chance Monday morning that it was going to be a three-way race. Yeah. But of course, like you said, Stevens made the announcement about 48 hours before that he was dropping out.
Why did he drop out? Is it simply that he didn't have the votes?
I think the writing on the wall is that he didn't have the votes. He wanted to, I mean, he said he wants to focus on lame duck. He wants to focus on what he can do in these last couple of weeks. And, you know, he kind of teased that I don't know that he's done with attempting to lead beyond just his lawmaking role as a representative. You know, he said, I think there's opportunities in the future for people who have values like mine. But, you know, I think between the contentious primaries that happened with some of these candidates who supported Stevens, you know, the 22 lawmakers, Republican lawmakers who voted with Stevens along with the Democrats, have been aptly named the Blue 22. And they took a lot of heat during the primaries because a couple of them, like Representative Jay Edwards, were already, you know, leaving the chamber because of term limits. But you have some other representatives like Representative Sarah Carruthers, who actually had a primary opponent, a Republican primary opponent, who beat them out. And, you know, Senate President Matt Huffman helped some of these candidates fundraise. So it's, I mean, it's truly palace intrigue.
Yeah.
But going into this, it seemed like Stevens had already lost some of his quote unquote Blue 22 members. You know, some of them wouldn't be returning and couldn't vote for him either because they were primaried or because they were term limited. And of course, you know, the question is whether Democrats would do what they've done these last two speakership elections and vote with the Republicans again, or if they're going to just put up their own candidate.
Yeah, because if you recall, that's how Larry Householder became House Speaker. He needed the help of Democrats who helped push him over the top. And we all know how that has ended, with Larry Householder being the speaker, now doing 20 years in federal prison. So now, 2 years ago, were you outside the room? I'm not sure if you can hear what's going in the room. I understand that 2 years ago, it was a pretty contentious caucus meeting between Jason Stevens and Derek Merrin, the man he beat out for the speaker's job. Was there any of that yesterday?
There wasn't any of that yesterday. And I should say, I actually wasn't covering the State House at the time. I was following along on X on Twitter, but because I joined the State House News Bureau a little bit after that caucus vote. But I mean, it was a pretty quick vote last night. It really was. Caucus was set to meet at 5 p.m. They were on the 15th floor of the Reif Center, which is this tall government building next to the State House where most of the lawmakers have offices. So we saw people on the escalators going up to the vote. And then, you know, 40 minutes later, lawmakers started coming down the escalators and saying, you know, that Senate President Huffman was elected unanimously. Yes. And Representative Tim Barhorst ended up not getting nominated because it's a nomination process. So someone nominates a person, the caucus votes. If there are more than two candidates, you know, they keep doing these straw votes until they have a winner. So obviously that's where some of the squabbling came from last time, because there were, you know, multiple rounds of voting. That didn't happen this time.
Yeah, Huffman seemed to have everything lined up before that meeting. They left unanimous. And, you know, I kind of think that, you know, like you said earlier, there's not a whole lot of disagreement between these people. It's not like one is anti-abortion and one is, you know, pro-choice. They're both pretty aligned on gun rights. I'm talking about Stevens and Huffman. There might be some differences on, you know, the education bills. You said the anti-vaccine mandates and things on the edges that separate them. But they're pretty far conservative, far right conservative folks, and they govern that way. So I often think that the Republicans in this, because it's been so fractured since the Householder days, they just wanted to be done with this and wanted to be unified. They just wanted to see what they can do if they're all on the same page, more or less.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that plays into it. And you heard a lot of lawmakers coming down and talking about unity. And that's coming from both, you know, people who supported Merrin, who supported Huffman last night. I did catch up with a couple of the quote unquote Blue 22 members who said they, you know, want to move on as well. I do think that, like you said, there are some small policy differences. One of the big things that I think we could see next year, in addition to those education bills, are the House has truly slow rolled some of this marijuana legislation, kind of chipping away at marijuana policy. So kind of curious if that comes back, because, of course, now recreational marijuana has been legal for several months. People have been buying it and smoking it. So we'll see if it changes. But, I mean, there was a little bit of, I mean, it's not the Ohio State House without a little bit of drama. And, you know, Representative Barhorst did text me after the vote, and he said, you know, he congratulated Speaker-elect Huffman, and he didn't say whether or not, but I'm sure he won't be running in January, because he said he congratulated the Speaker-elect, which, you know, read between the lines.
Yeah.
But he says that the reason he didn't get nominated at all was because confusion around the process. It's not really clear if he hadn't secured someone to nominate him, if people weren't sure who was going to nominate him. I mean, obviously, there were people planning to vote for him going into this vote Wednesday night, but it just never materialized.
Yeah, there's voting for him and then nominating him. And if you want to stay in good graces of the incoming House Speaker, you may not want to stick your neck out too far. It's just, and now that we've been down this road before, Derek Merrin had the endorsement of the Republican caucus 2 years ago, but then didn't win the speaker's job on the floor. As we said, Stephens King, you know, kind of came in at the last minute and swiped it away from him. Any chance that happens here? Or are they pretty unified?
I think it's a much smaller chance. You know, I don't want to say it's never going to happen, but I think it's a much smaller chance. You've got someone like Senate President Speaker-elect Matt Huffman coming in, who, of course, you know, both Merrin and Stephens, it's not like they had served as in that sort of leadership role before 2 years ago. You've got someone who has been in both chambers for 8 years. He's been around for a long time. He served in leadership, both in the House and, of course, the last 4 years as Senate president. And, you know, I think there is a level of understanding after these last 2 years that there are some repercussions for this fracturing. I mean, you know, some of these members who supported Stephens, you know, stand by their vote and they say they stand by their vote. But of course, some of them lost their seats because they were primaried. So I have to imagine there's a little bit of fatigue coming from that. And there are, I mean, you are hearing concerns from some of these younger lawmakers, some of these freshman lawmakers, because of this wonky term limit system. You know, you mentioned it. Huffman's coming in. He's a quote-unquote freshman lawmaker in the House.
Even though he's served in the House before, yeah.
Yeah, and he's the Speaker. So he could serve ostensibly for the next 8 years, which means even the members who are literally starting in January wouldn't run for Speaker. And of course, anyone could challenge him. He has to run every 2 years to be Speaker. But, you know, it sets up an interesting situation where you've got someone who could serve for as long as 8 years. And the last, you know, several legislative sessions, there's been a lot of turnover in the speakers.
Yes.
At the speaker's dais.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to Cliff Rosenberger, who resigned suddenly. Now, we do have there's a new Senate president, too, Rob McCauley from Napoleon in Northwest Ohio. Any surprise there that he won the top job in the Senate? And does he get along with Matt Huffman? Because, Matt Huffman didn't really get along that much with Jason Stephens, and thus not many bills were passed or all the way to the governor.
Yeah, no surprises there. Senate President Rob McCauley has really been Senate President-elect Rob McCauley, I should say, has really been Huffman's second in command. So they have a strong relationship. They've known each other for a while. They've worked together in the Senate. And, you know, McCauley may want to get out of this idea because, you know, you hear some people around Capitol Square talking about how McCauley will just be a rubber stamp for what the House is doing. But he may want to get out of that reputation and, you know, kind of forge a legacy for his own. So it remains to be seen kind of what he's really going to prioritize. We haven't had a chance to, like, sit down and talk with him yet. But no surprises there. And you even hear from someone like Senate Minority Leader Nikki Antonio. She leads the Democratic caucus in the Senate and was just reelected to that role. You know, she said she's kind of looking forward to, although, of course, she doesn't ideologically agree with these Republicans on a lot of things, she's looking forward to more bills just moving next legislative session. So yeah. I think that's kind of the tone in the rooms from some people, because there really haven't been a lot of bills that have moved. They've been held up in one chamber or the other, and a lot of it has been due to this proxy battle between Stephens and Huffman.
Matt Huffman, do we know what his priorities are as he presumably will take on the Speaker's gavel?
Yeah, he said last night he wants his members, his 65 Republican members, to set some of the agenda. But some big priorities that you see from Huffman, expansion of school vouchers and school choice, also, you know, some of this higher education overhaul with what you're talking about in Senate Bill 83, kind of dismantling these DEI offices at colleges. He's been very supportive of that. And of course, that bill has been kind of blocked in the House. Stephen says he's not moving it forward during lame duck. So that will certainly make a resurgence next year. And overhaul of tax policy as well. Those were kind of some of the policy points he highlighted last night.
And of course, there is that other branch of government, the executive branch, and Governor DeWine did not always see eye to eye with Senate and House lawmakers. Do we see them having a better relationship now, more unified, the DeWine, Huffman, and McCauley?
You see, definitely, I think in the last 2 years, you've seen Huffman move more toward things that DeWine has asked for. I'm specifically thinking of marijuana policy again, because DeWine was really the one, since issue two passed, begging lawmakers to do something about Delta 8 THC and this intoxicating hemp to, you know, kind of slash away at some of the policy in issue two. And Huffman and the Senate, that was the chamber definitely prioritizing that. And then it kind of got slow rolled in the House. So I definitely imagine, I mean, they're not going to see eye to eye on everything. Of course, you saw about a year ago, Governor Mike DeWine vetoing the gender-affirming care ban for minors. And of course, both chambers overrode that veto. So they're not going to see eye to eye on everything. But thus far, I mean, it definitely seems like Huffman's been more apt to work with DeWine on his priorities than Stevens has.
Yeah, and Mike DeWine, of course, is entering his last 2 years trying to build his legacy, so he may look for bills that are perhaps less controversial and more legacy building, so to speak, as he tries to end his term on a high note in his mind anyway. Sarah Donaldson from the Ohio Public Radio State House Bureau, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past half fortnight. You know, we could give it to Donald Trump for his interesting cabinet picks, but you know, we have to give it to the man who seemingly is ready to accomplish his political goal. He has been working on this for a few years, and that, of course, is Matt Huffman, jumping from the top spot in the Ohio Senate to the top spot in the Ohio House without any downtime in between. If that's not a shrewd political move, I don't know what is. So Ohio Senate President Matt Huffman and likely future Ohio House Speaker Matt Huffman gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. We are taking next week off. No politics on Thanksgiving. Please enjoy the holiday, politics-free, if you can. We'll be back first Thursday in December. So we'd like to give our thanks to our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones. For all of them, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.